Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Orin Schroeder as she speaks with actors Tracy Michelle Arnold and Nate Berger about APT's 2023 premiere production of Anton's Shorts by Anton Chekhov and Aaron Posner.
I'm delighted to have core company members Tracy and Nate here to talk about Anton Shorts with me. And Anton Shorts is by both Anton Chekhov and Aaron Posner, and that's a bit unusual, so we're going to chat a bit about that. But these are also called vaudevilles as well as shorts, and they're not as well known as Chekhov's other works, such as The Cherry Orchard and The Seagull. What can you tell us about the short plays?
It's interesting because they are definitely a young artist figuring out his voice. And he was still working on the same stuff that he worked on in the 1890s and into 1901 or whenever he wrote Cherry Orchard. But they're still working on the same thing of like the contradictory ways that we exist and the choices that we make that we sort of only half make and that we abandon because we're scared or because we're lonely or whatever. But they're way more fun. These vaudevilles are just more outright comedic. They are kind of wackadoo and farcical in a way that Seagull and the plays that we tend to think of as Chekhov, those big four, they have really funny bits that sort of disappear when you look away because there's so much happening in the plays. But these ones are just wild and weird and fun.
And you're right, he was in his 20s, wasn't he, when he wrote them?
Some of them he worked on for a long, long time. Like, we had a talk back last night and David Daniel was talking about how On the Harmfulness of Tobacco is a play that was revised, I think, 3 or 4 times. So it's a thing that he continued to return to and revise. And
during his very short life.
Yeah, he's 44, I think, when he died.
Yeah. And were both of you involved when APT did this as a Zoom reading in during COVID 2020, and then it was broadcast on PBS?
Yep.
I wasn't.
You
were.
I was.
Yeah.
Which showed it? Which of
I also did the Bear then, and we did it with Russian dialects.
I forgot.
Yes, Aaron Posner directed us, but he said, "I mean, come on, we're doing this for Zoom. We're trying to make people really have a great time. It's the pandemic. We're all trapped. So let's just be as broad as we can be." And we rehearsed those things in 3 days or something. So it was just, we just threw paint at the wall and it was very bright. It was very vivid.
So no Russian accents this time.
No Russian accents. We talked about that early on. And at first it felt funny because we had already done it with Russian, but
the same lines. So yeah. You had to un-Russian them. And how did this come about? Do you know anything about the decision to add the character of Anton Chekhov and tie them together that way?
Were you involved in the development readings?
I was at Brenda had Aaron and Jake come to her home in the off season, and some of us who live in town, myself and Marcus, trying to think of anyone. Maybe Jim Ridge was there. I apologize to you, Jim, if I don't remember that properly. But it just asked us to come and read things out loud so that Aaron could hear them and continue to work on them. And I don't remember him telling us about the character of Anton. I just know that that was their job, was to weave them together. The idea of putting Anton into it, I think, is marvelous, and because he is the common thread. He had his hand in all the pies, right? So it's kind of wonderful that those were all his voice.
Yeah,
and it is a variety. It's an evening of total variety. It's like it reminds me of a Carol Burnett show or something. It's, it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And where do Anton Chekhov's lines come from? Are those largely drawn from his other writing, or did Aaron Posner create them?
They are almost universally Aaron. So everything that I say in the play, with the exception of one line, is a direct quote of Chekhov's, which is, while any fool can withstand a crisis, it's the day-to-day living that wears us all out. That's the only Chekhov original that Aaron wrote for Chekhov in the play. But I like to say, like, I keep, when we introduced ourselves at the first tech, I was like, I'm Nate Berger, he, him, and I will be playing Anton Posner, because more or less, the Chekhov that's in this play is an amalgam of pieces of Aaron. I think he would admit outright that this character is not really based in a biographic reality of who that guy was. He wasn't like reading the Henry Troyat book or anything and being like, I should make a note about that. It's more like these are thoughts that Aaron has had about theater and about like the immediacy of the art form that he wanted to put into a piece of play, into a play to weave these pieces together. But yeah, it's an original Aaron Posner brainchild.
And Aaron Posner has quite a history with Chekhov, both as a director, and can you talk a little bit about what else he's done with Chekhov's work?
He's adapted The Seagull into a play called Stupid Effing Bird. What's the other one?
He has an Uncle Vanya called Life Sucks, Life Suck, I think.
Which they did at Forward Theater in Madison.
Yeah. And then he was working on a Three Sisters called No Sisters. for a while, I don't know what came of that, but and then he's adapted, I think, some of the other larger plays. Or no, he hasn't. He's just done the shorts and stuff. But yeah,
didn't he make a comment about being done with Chekhov after this in the rehearsal?
He may have when you were there. I don't think I was.
I don't trust my brain anymore. Maybe he didn't. I feel like he did.
Well, he's
Chekhov'd out, but I can't imagine that being true for Aaron. He's, what I love about him, he's a wonderful writer, and he really, really, the voice of Chekhov in the play really does sound like Aaron. He is an enthusiastic theater lover, all things about it. You know, he really does love actors and the process of creation, and it's evident when you work with him. And he was in the room with us for some of these rehearsals, mm-hmm. and he would hear us, particularly Nate, because Nate was saying his language, and if it didn't sound like it came right out of Nate, he would change it right on the spot.
I was going to ask whether there were a lot of changes to the script as it was being developed.
I think it's that thing of like you write a piece of, you like write a play and then you invite a bunch of other people to investigate it and inevitably they will change it because they're involved too. I think Marcus had a lot of questions about the Moscow Hamlet piece that changed it for the better, and Aaron and Jake and he really worked together on making that something that sang for Marcus. And for my stuff, similarly, it was a lot of like, but what are we driving to? How do these pieces stack, these like monologues of Chekhov in between the plays, how do they stack into something that is a recognizable sort of story for this person?
So this is considered the world premiere, and I did get to speak with Aaron the night that I saw the play, and he said that he hopes it will be produced elsewhere, which means that your names will be in the scripts as having debuted your roles.
That's always fun.
Yeah, and given the success of Aaron's other plays based on Chekhov, I wouldn't be surprised if this is done elsewhere. It's certainly a very enjoyable evening, something that audiences can get into whether they know Chekhov or not. So what are your favorite parts? What do you enjoy?
I love listening to my husband. Because I'm in The Bear, which is the last piece of the evening.
And your
husband, for those
who don't know.
Yeah. Oh, who am I playing?
Marcus is your husband.
Oh, my husband. I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't hear you. I was speaking while you were speaking. Marcus is my husband. And as Nate pointed out, he did have a lot to do with working on making Moscow Hamlet more actable, really. It wasn't a play. It's one of the only things in the evening that was never a play. It's a short story by Chekhov. And so when he read it, he said, I don't know how I'm going to make this actable. It doesn't feel active because it feels like I'm just reporting. Mm. And so he and Aaron and Jake went back and forth a lot to to make that an actable piece, and he did a great job. Yeah. I'm very proud of him. But I watched all of that at home. I watched the script out on the coffee table. Every morning I would come down, and he'd be scribbling on it and writing on it and crossing things out and writing. So, yeah, it was a very collaborative effort, that. But I just enjoy being in the dressing room for the entirety of the show until my piece, and hearing the audience respond to all of it, not just to Marcus, who is hilarious, but to everyone, because everyone's so talented, and these are my longtime colleagues and friends, and I'm just as big a fan as I am a friend, and, you know.
And the core company members, this is a dream cast. You know, all of our favorites, not all of our favorites, I don't want to offend anyone either, but many of our favorites are in this play. And you bring up an interesting point, Tracy, that many of the core members are married to other core members, whether they're in this play or not. But Nate's wife, Laura, was directing this year, mm-hmm. and there's a feeling of mutual support, but also it's family in many cases, which is one of the things that makes APT really special. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that comes across on stage, that the actors know each other and trust each other. And that's so important for comedy, I think, with the timing. I wanted to ask, because this is five separate pieces, how do the transitions work? I mean, how do you move from one to another? Is that a challenge to keep things moving along?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's mostly on me, annoyingly.
I was going to let you answer that question.
Yeah, totally. But I think it, you know, Aaron and I had a lot of conversations about, like, how, because he sort of had, they were all kind of in little jewel cases at the start. Like, it was like, here's a little intro for On the Harmfulness of Tobacco. Here's a little intro for Moscow Hamlet. Here's a little intro for a proposal, and so on. And I think Jake and I were more interested in, how do we tail in and out of those? Like, how do we, like, link, how do we use Chekhov's interstitial monologues as a thing to bring you from that one to that one and go, this is why they're similar, because of this guy's brain, and this is the thought process that takes you across. So we worked a lot on that. And Aaron was really great about, like, helping me make changes to it. And then I think for me, it's a lot about, like, activating them and making them discoveries instead of bon mots. Like, there's a way that those interstitial monologues are like, here's a little bit of wisdom from Uncle Anton at the fireside chat. And I think that they're much more interesting if it's him going, oh, wait, what about this? And figuring something new out. So I think that, I hope, is helpful in creating a bridge between pieces. And then I think on these guys' parts, I get to watch almost everybody's pieces. But it's interesting, like, you have to listen to every single piece in a different way. They all, and all the actors in the individual pieces are so good about instructing the audience about what they need to open themselves to right off the bat. Like, in the proposal, it moves really quick, and they're like, we're gonna move really quick, so keep up. And in The Bear, like, you know, there's just, like, in Swan Song, especially, because it's such an outlier in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. starts with Jim Ridge sort of in a moment of stillness, and he really is like, okay, this one's gonna be quiet. Mm-hmm. This one's gonna be a little more fragile, so bear with me.
But yeah, at the talk back last night, somebody likened it to going to dinner at a tapas restaurant, because it was little plates. But I feel, I would say yes, and it's also like going to a really nice restaurant where you're there for hours, you know, and you're having really wonderful meals, but you have to eat each one slowly and enjoy it, and there's a palate cleanser in between, and Nate is often the palate cleanser. Right?
And or y'all are the prefix menu.
Or a new wine or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because each one is a sort of wonderful meal in and of itself, as opposed to a small plate. It's like, oh, that was a whole, like you said, a jewel box, a whole meal that I just swallowed. And now you have to palate cleanse because you're going to get a whole different meal right
now.
Yeah. You know?
So to use that same metaphor, the set design doesn't clear the table in between the courses. Can you talk about how the set works and who is the designer for the set?
Nate Stuber.
Yeah, Nate Stuber, who's been at APT for...
As long as I have, I believe. We're the same class. We're class of 1999.
Wow.
I think we are. Oh, Nate, apologies if I'm wrong. I'm apologizing to everyone because my brain is as old as it is now and plays tricks on me.
But he's also been the props master here ever since Jen Treloff passed away in 2015, I think. Mm. But Nate is like a really thoughtful, smart, sort of like spare designer. And what I love about his set is that it is built to sort of like mimic a writing space. So I think he kind of like pulled from Chekhov's Yalta House and then also like some color palettes of the day, but it also sort of looks like a little vaudeville stage. So there are footlights and there's a curtain upstage and there are paintings of things that are of the period, and also Chekhov's family and a young Chekhov and like a very young Chekhov and like doctors of the period and stuff that sort of mimics the life of this man that we've come to know. So I think of it more than anything else as like it is Chekhov's brain that you are welcomed into, and that's the playing space. And it has some realistic sort of boundaries, but only kind of. But it's really lovely to play in and around, and I'm so grateful that I get to break all the boundaries of it, too, in a way that the people inside the plays are kind of confined to a specific playing area. It's cool.
I think Aaron Posner does like to break the fourth wall a bit.
He sure does.
And that's not something that often happens at APT. But in the history of APT, since we've mentioned that a few times, The Bear and On the Harmfulness of Tobacco were the first non-Shakespeare plays that were done. That was back in 1985. So I'm wondering, talk a little bit about Chekhov and why in a classical theater like APT it was important to start with him as the first non-Shakespeare.
I think, for my money, it's that it pulls on the same sort of skill set. Shakespeare is written in a poetic voice that we have to fill in a lot of blank spaces for you as an audience. And Chekhov, similarly, it can read very stilted and lightly poetic on the page, but it's because there's 80,000 things happening in at a given time. So it requires actors who have a lot of skill in being malleable around text and how to personalize and fill spaces that can feel like brick walls and are actually open doors.
It breathes in a way.
Shakespeare
kind of takes you along because it's poetic and it's written with a certain meter that it really does just pull you along when you're speaking it. You're on a sort of tide. And you have to be careful not to just ride the tide, or you're just going to sound like a drone. You've got to fill it with all of your specificity. Chekhov wrote a little bit more the way we speak, which is a beautiful thing and was very unusual. But he interslices comedy and tragedy all the time. So when you come see the show, if you come see Anton's Shorts, you're going to see almost pure pieces of comedy, and I wouldn't say tragedy, but what would you call Swan Song?
Chekhov. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Chekhov. I'm going to give you an example. When we rehearsed The Cherry Orchard many years ago, Carrie Cannon was playing
Varya,
and Susan Shunk was playing Anya, and there's this little scene that they have together. It's quite serious. I don't remember now what they're talking about. It's probably about a man. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of it, Varya says to Anya, just breaks out of nowhere. She just says, "Oh, your pin looks like a little bee." And Carrie, I remember this so vividly, stopping in rehearsal and saying, "Bill, Bill Brown was directing. Bill, what? In the middle of this conversation, why on earth is she just all of a sudden saying, oh, your pin looks like a little bee? It just drives me crazy. I don't know what that's about. And Bill just said, it's just human. It's what we do. It's human nature. And she was still wrestling with it. That maybe within the next 30 minutes we were rehearsing, there was a window in the rehearsal space, and we had stopped to get a note. Someone was talking to Bill, and in the middle of someone talking to Bill, they saw a rabbit out on the lawn, and so they were talking about, so then I moved stage left, and oh, look, a bunny! And Bill just said, your pin looks like a little bee, and pointed at them. And then Carrie went, oh! You know, the way Chekhov observes human nature is incredible, and actors have to trust it and not judge it. You know, that was the danger right there, was like, what the heck is that about? Your pin looks like, that's absolutely human nature. We do it all the time. We just don't recognize it. But he really studied the way humans behaved. And it's quirky and weird and wonderful.
Yeah. We have like we tend to make things more linear than they actually are generally. Yeah. There's also like a part in Vanya where, Vanya is like, he's like, Mama, I'm lost. I can't go on. I don't know. Wait, shut up. You're going to remember me. And he leaves. But like, his brain goes somewhere else. And he like immediately he goes from like despondent to angry on one line. And sometimes like with Chekhov, you have to let the mechanics guide you towards the actual way to link the thoughts together. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a wonderful way of introducing Chekhov to people who haven't seen Chekhov before, or just coming to have a great evening in the theater. So it serves both purposes. And if you have a chance to see this one, you shouldn't miss it. Thank you both very much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Orin Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.